Last time on Direwild. After getting the information they needed from mine's owner Michael Scalini, the party found themselves trapped in a shootout with the Blood Hooded Gang. Then, they were rescued by Sheriff's Deputy James Greenriver and his unspeaking friend Elliot. James then informed the party that people from all over Silver Rock have gone mysteriously missing, including Sheriff Toplin. Just as they were about to make their nimble escape, a strange man in a porcelain mask shot and killed our monk Giro. But after a nightmarish vision of his burning family and his late grandfather giving him the power of the Spirit Fox, he sprung back to life right in front of James. Caught between a rock and a hard place, the party was forced to tell James the truth about the supernatural, which shook him to his very core. Later, the party snuck into the Scalini Mines office and stole the maps that showed the location of a secret entrance to the collapsed mines. While doing so, they also found a strange letter from someone only referred to as F, promising the mobster cursed items. Now, the party and their two compatriots delve into the unknown horrors of the Scalini Mines. What will happen next? Find out in Episode 9, The Caves of Carnage.
Welcome back to Direwild, a sometimes silly, sometimes scary Dungeons & Dragons campaign set in the Wild West. This episode I am joined by...
Hi, I'm AJ, I play Giro.
I'm Mira, I play Sarah.
I am Sean, I play Galen. Oh, the sex robot.
Oh yeah, the 1870s sex robot.
Yeah, 1870s sex robot, that's what it was.
I gotcha. And I am Will. I am the DM of this campaign, and let's jump right back in. After the events of last episode, the three of you escaping from the firefight in the slums district of Silver Rock, going to the Scalini Mines office and getting the information, and Galen finding the love of his life, planning the sensuous, sexy kiss. What, she's not the love of your life?
No, definitely not.
Oh, okay. The five of you went to the natural cave formation that Sarah found eventually intersects with the Scalini Mines. So we're going to start with Galen, Sarah, Giro, James, and James' friend, Elliot, in the caves. The five of you have been walking into these caves following Sarah's map for what feels like an hour now. The cave is only lit by your hand lanterns, so you can only see about 30 feet in front of you. As the five of you are walking through these caves following Sarah's lead, so we'll say Sarah is in front of the group, eventually you come across this hole in the wall of the cave. About 6 feet off the floor, there is a 1-foot by 2-foot cavernous hole where on the other side there is candlelight. I am going to need an acrobatics from everyone.
18.
18 for Sarah.
11.
11 for Giro.
13.
13.
13 for Galen. A 17 and an 18 for James and Elliot. So all five of you are able to get through this hole pretty easily. When you get on the other side, Giro and Galen, this is still the same day of you having the hangover. So I'm going to need a con save from only you two.
17.
17 for Galen?
10.
10 for Giro. 17 is definitely enough, but the DC was 10. So you did beat it, but you also got it. So I want to punish you.
Throws up in his mouth.
Yeah.
Hold it in.
You know what? I'll make a note. Galen, you're pretty over your hangover.
Oh, yeah.
Giro, you were about to be over your hangover, and then this putrid smell, which I'll get to in a second, overtook you, and now you're right back in it. So let me make a note of that, and it'll come up later. Probably at a time where you guys really don't want it to, but whatever.
Giro's just never going to get over his hangover.
Yeah, for the rest of the campaign, you're just consistently hungover. So, you're all in... Actually, no, I gotta say what the smell was. This smell that's overtaken you, Giro, and almost gotten you, Galen. Don't get me wrong, Sarah, James, and Elliot can also smell it, but it's really just affecting you two. Is It is this smell of putrid death, almost like someone left meat out for 2 months in the summer sun. It is this overcoming stench. But where you and where you took everyone through the maps is almost right next to where the collapse happened. So there's only kind of one way to go down this hall. It is a 30-foot tall cavern in these mines, and from floor to ceiling is rubble where it caved in.
So, guys, I got a bad feeling about this place. How about one of you two go first? I'll stick right around the middle here, you know? This place gives me some bad vibes.
Yeah, the maps were only important to get you into the mines. Now the maps don't really mean anything because you're where you need to be. Now you're just looking for what happened and why did it affect Silver Rock.
Oh, what a surprise. She wants to cower behind something again.
Look, man, we've been over this. I'm not the strongest person, and if something comes out, I am not going to be able to take that.
Sarah, you have a -1 modifier to your strength, so exactly. That is a smart move.
Exactly.
Probably explains why.
Yeah.
I can't say that.
Excuse me, what were you going to say, sir?
Well, she's like, oh, you know, my strength, and I won't be able to take that. Sitting here, be like...
You ain't wrong.
So, James and Elliot are kind of... The two of you are having this conversation. Jira, what are you doing?
It smells terrible in here.
Oh, okay. Just straight to that.
That's probably the zombie walking around.
Jesus Christ. Oh, for clarification, he's not, like, actually a zombie. He did die, and... Jira, how much did you tell them about... Or are you planning on doing it at some point about your vision after you died?
Okay, that vision, eventually at some point.
Okay. So, yeah, he had that vision and then came back. So, you guys don't really know that much about it. But still, James and Elliot are kind of standing a few feet away from the group, watching you guys talk, like, hey, James is saying, hey, aren't we kind of here to, like, look for stuff, not really talk?
If it wasn't for me, James... You wouldn't be here right now. Give me a minute.
You heard her.
Now, but you said that kiss was nasty. Let's talk about you being potentially gay over here, Galen.
So Will the DM is going to sit this part out. You guys just talk about that.
Galen's... No, see, I got to leave it like a maybe, maybe not thing.
Oh, so everyone's got, like, a real ambiguous vibe about your sexuality, I'm guessing?
Yeah.
Okay, well...
Well, based on the god that has inhabited me, I mean...
Yeah.
You can swing both ways at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
But I can still take it.
Take what?
Shut up, zombie.
Cool.
This has gone off the rails.
You know what? For the sake of moving on, I'm going to say you guys are having this conversation while... I'm going to say to protect you, James is in the front of the group and Elliot's in the back. That way, every time you guys, like, stop while talking, he's like, all right, come on, let's get the fuck up. So, Elliot has not talked yet, though. You haven't even seen him open his mouth. As you guys are going down these caverns, eventually you hit a point where the candles stop. And so you have to go back to using your lanterns. And the farther and farther you get down these mine tunnels, you start seeing this gory, fleshy, membrane-like webbing on the ceiling and top of the walls. The farther you go down, it creeps down the walls until it's almost on the floor. And eventually, the four of you are moving through these mines. And now the ceiling and walls of the mines are all this blood webbing, and only the floor is stone. Everyone give me a perception check, and I will roll for James.
15.
21.
9.
man.
Sorry, I was mid Popeye's burp right there.
Okay.
This podcast.
Yeah.
Sponsored to you by.
Yeah, I'll just bleep it out. No one will ever know. So, James passed his check. Galen, as the four of you are walking down these mines, you step down, and then while trying to step up, you do not feel your foot move. And shining the light on it, you see this, let's just call it blood webbing. You see the blood webbing on the bottom of your foot starting to creep up the side of your boot.
How skilled am I in the gun craft?
How do you mean gun craft?
Like the inner workings.
Your
weaponry itself.
You're okay enough at it to like clean and do very, very simple repairs on your own guns, but not to the point where like if someone gave you a hunk of metal, you could create your own.
Yeah. Would I be able to basically disassemble a bullet to get the powder from it?
Give me a sleight of hand.
Okay.
I'm gonna say that the three of you, Jiro, Sarah, and James, you notice Galen not really with the group anymore.
Where's Galen? I think he might be a little stuck over there.
It appears so.
These things aren't gonna come after me now, are they?
17.
Okay, yeah. 17, you're able to take the powder out.
Okay.
But before we get to whatever you're doing, which I can kind of assume what you're doing, James starts looking all around and he goes, "Hey, where's Elliot?"
"Elliot! Elliot!"
And through echoes of the cave, you can hear Sarah's, "Elliot, Elliot," and no response.
"Elliot?"
Only met by echoes.
"This isn't good."
"Wasn't he just here? Where?
He was, the last you saw Elliot, James was in front of the group, then it was the three of you talking, and Elliot was keeping the rear, and now he's not. Galen, I can assume your plan, but what are you doing?"
Well, I'm gonna sprinkle my dust, my little bard dust.
Okay.
My gunslinger bard dust on the crawling blood.
I'm not gonna hide this at all. It pretty much just looks like carnage.
Oh.
Like venom carnage.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it just looks like walls or webbing or whatever made out of carnage.
Yeah, so I'm gonna put my gunpowder stuff all over it, and basically I don't know how far away they are.
Did you guys walk back up to him when you saw he was stuck?
Yeah.
Okay.
Basically gonna ask Jiro here for a match.
So. Okay. I'll get to that in a second. You and James start walking just a little bit away from the group. Not so much that the light from your lanterns can't illuminate them, but on the edge of that light, there are no traces of Elliot. There is not even something left behind. Disappeared.
So, first we got a zombie.
Not a
now
zombie.
Now we have somebody who's disappeared and a man who is stuck over there by these walls of carnage.
And a woman who complains.
A lot.
You know what? You can stay stuck.
Damn.
You can stay stuck.
Well, good thing I wasn't asking you for help.
All right. You know what? Let's quickly move past this.
You know what? I'm going to point my gun at you and be like, "Let's see you move right now."
I start dancing.
All right.
Do it.
So.
Do it.
Do the roar.
Do it. Do it.
Okay, so you light this sprinkling of gunpowder over this viscera, and it does burn away and it retreats. And then you see this undulation in the walls. Going down as far as the light that you have can see, it is like a vibration, almost like muscles tensing and untensing. And you can, it's actually so vigorous you can hear it as it travels down this cavern. And an unknown distance away, all you hear is a screech that sounds like 100 swords just smashing into rocks, steadily getting closer. They are not on you. They are not very close, but you can hear them down the mine shaft.
All right. I don't like the sound of that, so I'm just gonna chill behind you two. You guys can check it out. I'll follow right behind, you know.
So in other words, you're using us as shields.
Oh, definitely using you guys as shields.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. Where you are right now in this mine shaft, there are three possible paths. One leads straight towards where you're hearing these sounds. Another just leads into darkness you know nothing about. And another leads into just empty darkness you also know nothing about. Anything beyond the maps that Sarah has.
Straight? Hey man, I'm here to kill supernatural things and purge the world of this evil.
Okay.
In the words of the wizard, I'm here to fuck shit up. Kick ass and take names.
I don't remember Thaddeus ever saying that, but sure, I'll take it.
And I'm all out of names.
Okay.
Can I do an investigation on the two dark places with, like, my light, see if I can see if anything at the ends of them, or...
Yeah, well, you have the map.
Oh, yeah, I know, yeah. But, you know, maybe if I could see something that'll make me want to go down there more.
Sure. Roll me an investigation. Did Galen say that? I'm here to kick ass and take names. I'm here to kick supernatural ass and take names.
And I'm all out of names to take.
I'll let you give inspiration to one person, because that was almost badass.
Let's give it to Jiro, since he gave me the match to free myself.
Okay. Sarah?
15.
15 for investigation. So you're walking up to the divergence of these tunnels and just kind of checking each one?
Yeah.
The sounds that you were hearing down the forward tunnel are getting increasingly louder, meaning they're getting closer. From the range of light you can see, the two tunnels don't look any different. They are just mine shafts with this carnage blood webbing on the walls and ceiling. Jiro, Sarah is going back and forth looking at the two tunnels, seeing which one she thinks is better. Galen is actively walking down the tunnel you're hearing stuff from. What are you doing? I haven't decided what James is doing yet.
I'm just going to follow Galen. Go down the front passage.
Okay. I mean, let's be honest. James is probably going to follow me.
Well, I'll go off of Sarah. What are you doing? You do have the map. You can look at the map.
Oh, you two are go. Okay, I guess I'm following.
Okay.
Easy. So, thanks.
I mean, unless you want to be back here by yourself.
No, thanks.
If she went off, I would have just had James go with it. Splitting the party is the easiest way to kill them.
Yep.
As the four of you are going down this mine shaft, and the webbing on the walls and ceiling gets thicker and thicker, and drippier and more gross, the smell is just awful. Mm. The sound is immensely upon you, and shining your light up, you see a swarm of what Galen saw in the Chrysico building on the floor, walls, and ceiling sprinting at you. What you see is all of them are about the size of like a golden retriever. They have disgusting, almost bat-like human faces. Their bodies are both scaly and furry. They have almost like padding scales on all of their joints, and their forelegs are almost like praying mantis arms, where they're just like big bony spikes. They're all just sprinting at you all over the walls.
Nope, you guys got this one.
Yeah, James is actively getting the fuck out. He saw the light hit those, because when you shine your light up, you saw the eyes before, you know, that kind of like half glow from the light source? The half glow hit them before the light did. And you just saw a giant swarm of them coming at you, and then the light hit. If you had to guess, you'd say it's probably like 50 to 100 of them sprinting at you on all surfaces. James and Sarah are actively getting the fuck out of here.
What do we think, Ajiro?
How far are they from us?
About 30 feet. All right, roll initiative.
This is my fight.
So, Sarah and James, you are going down the hall. They decided to stay and fight. And you, so you're going to be pretty much deciding what you and James are doing.
Yeah, let's go down one of these halls. James, which one?
Right, I don't know.
Okay, let's go.
All right. And the two of you sprint down the right hall. It's kind of shitty to say because they are your friends. But you kind of assume that whatever these things are going to be occupied with the two of them. So you're not like hurrying so fast, but you are still sprinting.
I'm going to kind of make the echo down the caves. Hopefully they'll hear it. Guys, right side. Bye.
Okay. So, Ajiro and Galen, what did you get for initiative?
13.
21.
All right. Oof. Well, luckily they have a lower initiative than you do.
Me and Ajiro are going to be back to back.
I said eat.
I'm just going to put this out there before we start the actual like mechanical combat. This was not a good move.
We'll see.
I said fuck no. He said 50. I said fuck no.
50 to 100.
No.
So they are surrounding you right now.
How far? They're still 30 feet.
They are on you.
That's still about 10 feet?
No, they are on you.
Oh, they're on us. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
I'm not even going to draw out a map.
Okay.
All right, Zero, you're first.
All right, since they're on us, I'm going to use one of my key points.
Okay.
To use Astral Arms.
Okay.
And it says that, then one, each creature you can of your choice that you can see within 10 feet must succeed on a dexterity save throw or take the damage. And I'm doing all of them that are around me.
Okay. How many people can you hit in one?
It literally just says each creature of your choice.
Within 10 feet?
Within 10 feet.
Okay. So that would be 8 plus 4. So that would be 12. 12 of them.
But...
All right. What do I have to beat?
You have to beat 10. No. Hold up.
When you do so, each creature of your choice that you can see, DC 12, or take 2d4 force damage.
Alright.
No, the arms are for 10 minutes.
Yeah, I saw that too. Okay. Yeah. So stay out for that long.
Okay. DC 12 for, ironically, 12 people, or 12 of these things. Out of the 12, you got 8 of them. Okay. Do you want to roll your damage?
Yeah, I'll do that. Do you want me to do one for all of them, or...?
No, I'll just apply it to all of them.
Okay. Alright, that's 5.
5 damage to all of them?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Galen, what you see is Jiro's eyes, instead of turning into that glowing blue and orange, like, fiery mist that you saw on the top of the hill, his eyes go ink black with blaring white and blue irises. Suddenly, from his arms, ghostly, bestial, fox, werefox type anime-ass shit go over his arms. And what motion do you do for this? You just do, like, the fucking tornado shit?
just
he just starts spinning. He gets about 8 of them, and it doesn't kill any of them, but you can see they all kind of rear back for a second and then are back on the attack. Is that it for your turn?
I mean, we were back to back, so like, do they just go through him?
Yeah, we'll say they go through you. All
right.
Or through Galen. Galen, is that the end of
your turn? Yeah, I'm done.
Galen.
Well, doesn't he get to do more attacks? Because that was a bonus action.
Oh, you do make a good point.
Well, that's why I ask you guys.
I forgot it was a bonus action. My bad. I'm going to use unarmed strike on one of them.
Okay. Roll for attack.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, no.
It was a 7.
Okay. And then, is that your turn?
Yeah.
Okay, Galen.
I'm just going to shoot one.
Shoot one?
Yeah.
Okay.
18 plus 5.
23.
23.
To hit?
Yeah.
That is good enough. Give me damage.
6.
You shoot one and you see it go. I'm assuming you're shooting the closest one to you?
Yeah.
Okay. You see it go through its torso, but it does not fall. It starts to bleed something that is very similar to what's on the walls, where it starts off as a liquid. And then after like half a second of being in air, it turns into this membrane-like webbing. And now their turn. So the two of you are stood back to back. Jiro, you just used the powers your grandfather gave you, quote unquote, in the afterlife, however you want to look at that. Galen, you just shot one. None of them have died yet. There are currently able to be contact to you 10. So, I'm gonna need to pause a bit because this is gonna be a lot of math. Okay, I have it broken into two columns. Who wants left column? Who wants right column?
Left.
Left? 9, 11, 11, 21, and 17.
The 21 and 17 are good.
Okay. 0, 19, 7, 16, 20, and 13.
Three of them hit, but the 13.
Home rule?
It's what mine is.
All right. So I don't know if we've addressed this on the podcast yet. Maybe, maybe not. We have a home rule where if it's a melee attack and someone gets your AC, it's a competing roll. See if the victim can dodge out of the way. 9. 19. Okay.
So that's only three of them hit me.
Okay. Jiro, that is 9 damage. And Galen, that is 16. Only 3 on Jiro, 2 on Galen. They were able to rush you, rear up with their spike forearms, and stab into you. And now we are going to move back to Sarah and James.
So as we're going down these tunnels, I'd like to do some investigation, see if there's anything I can find.
Okay. Yeah, roll me an investigation, and you know what? I'm going to do the same thing for James. Well, that is a hard no for James.
21.
Goddamn. Yeah, actually. I will even give you this early for a 21, because this is going to be later on. As you and James are walking down this mine shaft, the two of you are pretty freaked out by what just happened. For all you know, Galen and Jiro are just dead now. Going down with your investigation, you are able to find a little kind of hidden pocket of the mines and hide out in there. As soon as you shine your light on this room-sized cave pocket, instead of just the normal kind of ripped membrane look of the webs protruding from the walls is, I don't know, about 50 to 100 just corpses on the walls. And all of their chests are open except for 10. Two of which look brand new. They don't look quite like corpses. Four of which do look actively dead, quote unquote. And another, what was that, 2 and 4? Another 4 of them look kind of like what Jiro saw, where they were bled dry.
I'm gonna check out the 2 that look semi-dead just to see if maybe they're alive of some sort.
Okay. James is kind of taken aback by this, and you see this, all the blood from his face drain. This is where they went. I'm just a rough visual, but I think this is everyone that went missing, including the miners.
Let's not think about that now, James. Just let me check these people out real quick, and then we'll get ourselves out of here, because this is not good.
I'll take him, you take her. How are you trying to check on... He took the... What you can assume is living man, you're taking the woman.
Yeah, just check for pulse, that kind of thing.
Okay. She's kind of plastered up against a wall, like Slimer from Ghostbusters almost. And before you can, like, register if she has a pulse or not, she flails and her eyes open.
Where am I?
And she starts, like, hyperventilating and visibly freaking out.
Calm down, ma'am. Calm down, ma'am. Look, I don't know what's going on either. Just let me help you get you down from here before these things come back. Come on.
What?
It's a long story. Just let me help you. Let me help you get down from here.
Okay. I don't think I have a choice.
And like she notions to the fact that her body is like plastered against this cable. Like, if she didn't want you to, she couldn't stop you. So how are you getting her down?
You know, fire again. I mean, it worked the first time.
So light a match. Takes you like half a booklet of matches. Because you burn one strand, oh, the match is out. You burn the next strand, all the matches, you know what I mean? And she just kind of falls to the floor. She's wearing, like, rags of clothes. You can see whatever these things are trying to get to their skin. And then James walks back over. He's dead. Oh. Hi. Wrong situation. Yeah, we should get out of here. And back to Zero.
All right.
Yeah, you can see James had a little bit of like, oh, she's hot. Oh, wait, wrong situation. Not the right place.
I'm going to use my astral arms to attack all the ones that are in front of me. Just like high speed.
Okay. How many can you attack in one turn?
That's with... It's whoever's 10 feet from me. I can attack all of them if I want.
I believe the each... wording with it is when you summon them, you can do that. It's not every turn. Yeah, you can summon the arms of your astral self, aka the fox. When you do so, leads me to believe that that is just on the first turn that you summon them.
All right, well, I'm just going to attack one of them.
Okay, just one?
Right now, yeah.
Okay, give me to that.
When you said that about James, it reminded me of the anime. That's, is it wrong to try to pick up girls in a dungeon?
I mean, it depends what kind of dungeon.
I like that. 17.
Yeah, 17 hits.
Alright.
Give me damage.
That would be 6.
Okay.
But I also want to use another key point to use Fury of Blows, which if I land an attack, I get 2 more unarmed strike attacks.
Okay.
Wow. Alright, so that's a nat 1, but it's actually a 5.
Okay.
Okay. That's a 12.
A 12 does not hit either.
Alright.
So, the first one, because remember, they're like golden retriever size. The first one, you kind of punch down with your ghostly, let's just call it ghostly werefox arms, because I'm not going to be bashful. Like, that's what it is. I'm not going to be poetic about it. You batch down on one of them, and you get it right in the head. Doesn't kill it, but you force apply to a solid object. You knock it down. And then just the sheer numbers of the rest starting to swarm you, you miss the other two. And is that your turn?
Yeah.
Okay, Galen.
Shoot him!
All right, give me an attack roll.
I'll give you an attack roll. Maybe not. 10.
10 does not hit. So as you can see, they're starting to swarm more and more. You aim your gun, and just the sheer motion of them coming at you, you can't quite aim right, and you miss one just as they're moving out of the way. Now, their turn. They're starting to climb up on top of each other. Whereas last turn, it was 10 attacking you. Now there are 20 attacking you. I'm just going to make 2 columns.
I'll take left again.
Guys, get out of there!
This ain't looking too good, man.
Yeah, you tell me.
Guys, get out of there! I got a survivor!
You are far away enough now that you're somewhat safe from what's going on to them, but neither of you can hear each other. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, big oof.
Yeah, so...
Bye, guys.
Yeah, for all you and James know, well, they're dead now.
Rip.
I got...
Ripperonis.
Out of there.
Awesome. 25.
It really picks up the whispering.
I know, that's what I'm saying. You can use these for ghost hunting. Well, all you gotta do is leave your laptop out, hit record.
Fuck off. And then I'm not leaving my...
And then when you sleep, check it in the next morning, see if you get any audio.
Oh. I actually thought about doing that last night, and I was like, straight no. Like, hard no, because I don't want to, like, be right.
Yeah, that is always the worry.
All right. This might be bad, guys. Who wants to go first?
I told you I'm left.
No, I'm saying who wants to hear the attack rolls first.
Oh, I thought you were just going to do sides again.
No, I'm saying who wants to hear their side first.
I'll go first. Why not?
11.
Okay.
Give me a yes, no as I'm going so I can check off.
Oh, okay. No.
23.
Yes. Why are you asking that one?
All right. Just because I like it.
Hey, look.
It's fun.
I'll make it better for you. 15 and above hits.
Okay. So that is one.
Well, two. Sorry. 15 is my AC. Yeah. So anything above 15 hits. All
right. Okay. For Galen. The ones that hit you, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. All right, for Giro, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and a nat 20.
Oof.
Yes, Galen.
I just want you to know if they, you said 7 hit.
For you?
Yes.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
So even if they all do 1 damage, I'm still dead.
Okay. Giro?
Oh, no.
Did you do the damage?
I did not do the damage yet. But because I am nice and because I kind of swarmed you guys really soon, I will give you a deus ex machina to get out of this situation before I deal damage. If you come up with it, I am going to hit pause on the recording, take a bathroom break. And when you come back, if you can tell me how to break out of a swarm of like 50 to 100 of these things, you'll be good. Sarah, would you like to come here real quick? Don't say anything. I'm basing them off this. This is not what they look like, but here are their stats. There's 50 to 100 of them.
I honestly thought they were all going to be like one shot. So
yeah, me
just,
too.
Yeah.
Straight no.
I thought it was just going to be like, oh yeah, no.
This is... Have you guys ever watched Aliens?
Yes.
I based this session off Aliens. I'm not going to pause the recording because last time I forgot to hit play. I did warn you, like, hey, this is a bad plan.
Yeah, after we already did it.
No, I warned you when you said, like, I'm going down this, and I was like, this is not the right move, and you're like, I'm still doing it. All right, what's your plan?
I'm going to attempt to use sleep on them.
Okay, roll your 5d8. This is totally not how the rules work. He already did his turn. But without this, they would deal somewhere in the range of like 40 damage to each of you.
Can I have a d8?
Yeah, their first turn was real low. It was like ones and twos. So next turn, if this would work, it could have been like higher.
27.
27?
Yes.
Okay. You are able to affect the 6 to 7 of the ones around you, including the ones you've hit but not killed. And a group of them surrounding you fall down, leaving a path for you to run. For you to run. Okay?
Okay.
What are the two of you doing during this?
Hauling ass.
Hauling ass. Now, here's the thing. Remember that hangover from earlier? Jiro?
Oh no! See, it was all going to a corn plan.
Oh no!
He knew he'd need it.
The one that got a nat 20, I am still going to let hit you as you run away. Which could be whatever, or it could be pretty bad. You might end up carrying Giro to find them. Okay.
Why did we do this?
Because we're the fighting men.
Yeah. Terrible idea.
That is 14 damage.
Yep. I'm pretty sure that is my health.
That is your health?
Yep.
Okay.
Does that mean he's dead or unconscious?
That means he is unconscious. I need a snap second from Galen.
It's gonna be shitty. I'm gonna have to leave him. Because if I stop and try to get him, I'm probably gonna get got.
I'll give you an opportunity to stop and get him.
Fine, I'll get him.
For a roll.
Oh god, what roll?
Athletics.
Watch, I'm gonna get like a one.
You guys were pretty close, so it's not gonna be like you have to go back 5 feet. You know what I mean? He starts to fall down right next to you.
You said athletics?
Yep. Pulling a Sean.
Real. 10?
10's good. So as he starts to fall right next to you, you are able to pull him into a fireman carry like you used to have to do for what used to be your day job.
Yes.
And I'm sure you remember, but you don't run at full speed with a fireman carry.
Definitely not.
No, you don't.
It's barely a jog.
Correct. So I will get to Sarah and James in a second, but when she was leaving, she screamed back what path she was taking.
Yes.
No help. Which path was it?
Right side.
Okay. So.
I should have said left just to see what was down there.
Well, they are on your tail, but you are not actively being hit by them because a lot of them had to stumble over the fallen, the ones okay. that were sleeping.
Yeah.
So, Sarah, you just found this woman. James came up, made it weird. And now you're standing in this room where the walls are pretty much just made of webbed corpses with something that bursts out of their chest.
All right, so now that we have her, yeah, let's get out of here. Like, go. Because I don't know when those things are going to catch up to us from earlier. And I don't want to end up like one of these people. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think it matters. But in case you were curious, those, what, 6 or 7 that went to sleep?
Mm-hmm.
They wake up in a minute.
Okay. So. Well, hopefully you do something that makes that not a problem anymore. And Giro, I'm just going to turn off your mic for right now. That'd be a dick move, though. James, trying to compartmentalize the situation. He's a lonely, lonely, sad guy, and there's a pretty attractive woman right here. And also, death. Like, certain death. Here, we're in a room with only one way in and one way out. Those things will be coming eventually. I assume. What's the plan?
Run.
Where?
As far away from those things as we can find. I mean, honestly, I don't know, man. Probably should just get out of this cave altogether.
Yeah, that's the goal. I don't want to be here. I don't know about
you.
So
what do you want to do, James? Go back to where, you know, came? Or do you, you know, towards those things or in the other direction?
And you're the one with the map.
Look, man. You take the map.
And he kind of, like, fumbles with it at first because, like, he's not okay either. You look over, and this woman who's not giving you her name yet, she looks very, like, I think this is the best rescue crew. They're immediately fighting. And with his lantern, he's kind of flipping it up and down. And from the hall, you see shadows coming at you. From the hall of where this pocket comes from.
All right, I guess we're going in this direction away from those things.
You're still in the room.
Oh, no. Can I, like, leave the room and, like, run? In a different direction?
I just realized there wouldn't be shadows in a pitch black hallway.
Yeah.
I was going to go with the whole suspense thing. It's Giro and Galen. I was going to go with that whole, like, Lord of the Rings, like, I'm a... you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I know what? I got you. I'm going to just lay up against, you know, this little area, or make it look like I'm up against it, and I'm a part of this wall, so, you know, I'm dead.
Okay. So, James is standing there. He is looking away from the entrance to this, like, little pocket chamber. You are shining where you are. You're shining your light to the hallway, and you see the light you are making is making shadows coming at you. You brace yourself up against the webbing, make yourself look kind of camouflaged. The woman doesn't really know what's going on, so she does the same out of pure fear. And then you see this kind of hulking beast come towards James, and as soon as it gets more into the light, you can see it is Giro on Galen's shoulders.
Oh my gosh, you guys had scared me. Whew, okay.
At that moment, James actually screams and turns around because that was, you just told him someone's behind him. And he does not have a manly scream, and I don't want to have a noise complaint in my compartment.
So. How are you guys even alive? What happened to Giro?
I wanted to sit here while you'd be like, this big hawking mass, be like, make it even worse, be like, you know, because you're out of breath, you're like,
you know what? Canonically, that's why James was scared.
Yeah.
Are those things following you?
I'm just going to go ahead and, like, keep on running. Like, I don't have time for conversation.
You're James. In that pocket room right now. Because you saw the light coming from there.
Oh, fucking hell.
So.
That's what I do. Oh, fucking hell.
Yeah, this I'll explain
heavy.
It better. It's like that kind of sheer thing where there's, like, the mine shaft, and then there's the hallway off of it, and then there's a little pocket thing. So it's like, here's the hallway, here's the pocket thing, and that leads to the mine shaft. You only found it because of your investigation. So as far as you know right now, they are not following you.
So I get in, I get in the room. I'm just going to be like, shut up and play dead. Just throw him down on the ground because I don't give a fuck. I'm just going to lay down and be like, ugh.
Okay. Sarah, you're pretty much already doing that.
Yep.
You are literally already doing that. James, okay. And he just kind of snuggles up against one of the things. Like one of the carcasses.
He just
carcasses.
Toy Stories it.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I'm sorry. That didn't turn off all the recording equipment.
Sorry. I hit the leg of the table.
So you all play dead in this flesh webbing. And you see a few stragglers of these things crawl into the room, actually look at you guys, the five of you, and then slowly back out. And then you hear a horrible cracking and stretching and groaning and spilling of blood. You turn around and you see the woman you saved. Her mouth is opening past her cheek line up to her ears. She has a maw full of razor sharp, spiky teeth. The bones in her arms are elongating and turning into horrible clawed hands, but her skin is not stretching, or her skin is not growing with her bones. She is outgrowing her skin.
Oh,
and
man.
Suddenly she is a 10-foot tall, almost what could be compared to a Wendigo creature, roaring.
Oh man, I thought I did a good thing by saving this lady.
Now we're gonna roll initiative again.
Before that, how are we doing concentration in this? Like, will I not be able to do anything else, or can I still, like, fight in combat scenarios? Like,
it's been a minute. Are you talking about the ones that you put to
sleep? No, I'm talking about something else.
Oh, so concentration. You cannot cast any other spell that says concentration. You can't have concentration on two spells at one time.
Okay.
If you get hit anything above 10, you're going to have to roll above that to keep concentration.
Okay.
And if you're ever, like, put to sleep, paralyzed, something that, like, physically makes you not able to be concentrating on the spell anymore, mm-hmm. then it breaks concentration.
Okay. I don't know how you're going to feel about this, but can I use my heroism on him? It will give him 3 temporary hit points.
Yeah, we'll do that on your round, though.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So now, everyone dropped their lanterns. The room is lit kind of like a haunted house, where there's some areas that have pure beams of light, other areas are almost pitch black. It is very spooky lighting as all of you roll initiative.
I had gotten an 18.
18? Okay. Galen?
7.
Jiro, just roll one right now.
18.
18. Now, Jiro, I don't know if you've noticed, but I haven't had you rolling death saves yet. That is because of your grandfather, and this is the first time you've almost died. After this, you're going to start rolling death saves, but you still have, like, the fresh ghost juice. You know what I mean? So, I'm being double nice to you. I let you survive. Okay, now I will roll for her.
I'm still out, right?
Yes, you are still knocked out. Okay. So, Sarah is...
No!
Sarah is first in initiative. Technically, it's Sarah and Jiro, but Jiro is still passed out right now. You see this 10-foot-tall, horrible creature. Sarah, right now, you are first in initiative.
Fun.
What would you like to do?
I'm whipping out my gun.
Okay.
And I'm just going to try and pop a shot off at her, but also try to get around her at the same time and get out of there.
Okay, yeah. Give me an attack.
10.
10 does not hit. What else would you like to do with your turn? Mouth agape.
Well, since I missed, I'm just gonna, you know, try to get behind somebody else.
Okay, the closest person to you is Galen, so you're just gonna move around Galen.
Yep.
Alright, meat shield again. and then next is her. So, I guess Galen, because now he's the closest one to her.
Sorry, Galen. I said
and
nah.
I'm gonna guess a 7 doesn't do anything.
No.
Okay. That's all she can do. Actually, no. She waves her clawed hand. Each claw looks like the raptor forearms of the smaller versions of her, the creature beastly versions. But instead of having one raptor forearm, it's a hand of 5 of them. She waves her arm at the entrance to this pocket cavern, and you see the mesh web blood stuff kind of close like a door over the exit. And then it is going to be Galen's turn.
I'm gonna run over to Jiro and use my heroism because I have to be touching him. Which gives him 3 temporary hit points.
That is enough to stabilize. That should be enough to...
I mean, granted, they're temporary.
Yeah.
But because of combat rules, it's up to a minute, so that's a good 10 turns that he'll be up in about, as long as, you know, nothing crazy happens. Well, it's basically as long as I don't use another spell and or get hit for 10 or more damage.
Yeah, it's the only problem is all my attacks deal with being up close.
Don't get hit.
So.
I mean, I appreciate it. You hit points, don't get me wrong.
Okay, so temporary, before you waste anything on that, temporary hit points does not take him out of this state.
Oh, it doesn't?
What you can do, though, is I will let you roll a medicine check to try to bring him back to 1 hit point.
Okay. Is that going to take away any of my stuff or?
No.
Okay.
You can just like rip a shirt, bandage him up, stuff like that.
Hell no.
Okay. You're not actively dying, Jiro. Again, it's just you're still unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
Gangster?
Yep.
Because I'm assuming a 2 is not good, huh?
No. Yeah. Yeah, James' turn. He is going to... He's going to take out both of his pistols and just fire on her out of... It's not even, like, cool action hero like it was on the wagon. It's just, the fuck is that? Open fire on it! That kind of thing. And he gets both. So he deals a total of 18 damage to it.
Woo! Go, James!
Yeah, so he just pulls out both pistols and just bangs away. Now, oh man. Sorry.
That should be Galen's thing.
Yeah, it should be. Back to Sarah.
Can I still go to shooter again?
Yeah, your cover moved to go help the half-dead guy.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah. Yeah, just give me an attack roll.
19.
Oh, fuck yeah, 19 hits.
Ooh. Wait.
1d10 plus 3.
Can she use her bonus action right now, or is it too late?
Yeah.
I want to use the insightful fighting.
Okay. What the fuck is that?
You want me to tell you, or...
No, I'm reading it.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you can do insightful fighting. Roll an insight check.
17?
Yeah. 17 is... Yeah, I'll say 17 is good enough. Yeah, so now you can use your sneak attack on this and give me damage.
Alright, so the first one was 1d10 plus 3, so that would be 11, and then 2d6, so 4, 5, so 11 plus 5.
So that 16. Would be 16, yeah. So 16 total damage?
16 damage.
Oh, now I have to do math. What a curse. So you look this female creature, I don't even know how to describe her in terms of that. You look it up and down, and through your years as a journalist and like getting to know things and people, you're able to tell like where might one of her weak spots be. And you find one spot and you aim right at it, you get it, and you see it just go through her. And just like the other things, blood starts to trickle out, but after like half a second of it hitting air, it turns into this gross membrane. Then that's gonna be her. She is super not happy. So she's gonna stomp up to you now, and I'm gonna guess a 10 doesn't hit your AC.
No.
Okay, so she stomps up to you. You hit her pretty good though. Like, you got a decent amount of damage compared. And you see while she's trying to hold the bullet holes in her, bullet holes, plural, because James also shot her. She tries to swipe at you and loses her balance for a second, trying to like stop all the blood from coming out of her. So she completely whiffs.
Whoa, that was close.
Yeah. This big monster isn't doing too great. So, and then...
How dare you come at me when I tried to save you.
She's actually going to use one of her other actions. You see something in her throat start to bulge as if something is coming out of her throat. And then a like 8-foot long tongue with barbs and pincers at the end of it comes right at you. And this is a dex save. She's not attacking. You have to roll a dex save.
Let's just say that's going to be a no matter what. It's a 7.
7? That is not enough, but this one isn't a lot of damage, thankfully. That is only 5 damage, but her weird proboscis tongue flies out at you, gets you on the side of the arm, and she is sucking your blood away, and you can see that gross webbing blood starts to close some of the holes. Now we are at Galen.
Can I try to get Jiro back up?
Yes.
The same thing?
Yes.
A little bit better. It is a 13.
13? That is good enough. Jiro, you have 1 hit. But you are in the ring again. So.
Now, would that be, I'm assuming that's my whole turn?
That is, you are next to him, so you still have a movement. That is your action.
Oh, okay. Can I hold it for a possibility of, like, dodging?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'll let you hold your move action specifically to dodge.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm cool with doing that transfer. It makes sense to me, even though it's technically whatever. Next is James. He is going to move in front of the two of you and shoot at her. Pulled a Sean. Oh, he super gets her. He actually critted on one of them.
Oh, yeah, that's my boy.
So that is not the dice I'm looking for. Okay. God damn it. Okay. So he steps in front of you and Jiro, and aiming his two pistols up at her. What does he scream?
Cowabunga.
Cowabummer, dude. Yeah. So.
He looks like all big and bad when he steps in front of us, but he's like,
Yeah, I mean, sure. Yeah, so he steps in front of you and Jiro in a very guardian, protective manner, and then lets out a bitch scream.
I got you.
That's gonna be fun to edit later. That. And he deals 33 damage to her.
Damn.
Yeah, he got so good he was able to fire off two shots at once out of one of his pistols. And
it was the scream.
Yeah, it was the scream. And I'll tell you guys, she is not looking so hot. Conversely to when she kind of looked like a person, she was pretty hot. Now she's pretty torn up. And every bullet hole in her, even though a few of them started to heal up, every single one has that growth. It's like thicker. It's not just normal blood. It's almost like fudge. It's this really weird thick, and as soon as it hits the air, turns into that gross mucousy membrane. But now we are back to Sarah or Jiro. Which of you would like to go first? Yeah, you're not doing too hot either.
Yeah, my situation isn't very great.
Yeah,
right yeah now. James, I bet you ain't thinking she's too hot now.
Okay, Sarah.
I'm gonna go and try shoot her again.
Yeah. Give me an attack roll. Can you do your insightful fighting multiple times?
It doesn't specify. It just
oh yeah, you can do it. You can do it every turn if you want.
Oh, I can do my insightful thing. Yeah. What is that again? Does that mean I have to do my insight check first?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, same number anyways. So 11?
11? Yep.
Okay.
Got the same thing as last time and that one.
All right.
She did, because it's a contesting roll, I mean.
Oh, shoot. Wait, what?
So you roll, I roll, and for your insightful fighting to work, you have to roll higher than me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, you're able to look her up and down and get what you need again. Give me the attack with the sneak attack. Jiro, you're on deck.
That would be 16 again.
16 to hit? Or damage. Oh, yeah, damage. Okay. Scatterbrain. Sarah?
Yes?
Describe what happens when you kill her.
So, I'm just gonna turn around, step in front of where James was, and I'm just gonna take one pop shot to the head.
Do you also bitch scream before you do that?
And do the same thing. I'm gonna go, ah!
Great.
She turns the gun sideways.
Yeah.
Pop, pop.
So the two of you, Jiro and Galen, you were like somewhat protected by James stepping in front, ah, pop, pop. Then Sarah steps in front of James, ah, pop. Jiro, you woke up to this, so you have a real confused, like, is this our thing now? Is this what we do? But as the final bullet rips through her, Resident Evil style, the blood splatter goes behind her and solidifies into webbing. And the webbing solidifies over her, and she is now a gross statue of this mucousy flesh. But you see the rest of the cavern, all of the mucus bullshit fades away, and now you are in a room with her gross putrid statue of the thing you just killed, and just straight up like a bunch of dead bodies. Yeah, what were you gonna say?
I want a trophy.
Okay.
So.
How would you like to go about getting this trophy?
I'll pull out my little dagger. Cut till something comes off.
Okay.
I don't know.
Give me a sleight of hand, and I will, based off that, I will tell you the quality of the thing you get. Now, Jiro, James is going to immediately attend to you. And he is not real good at medicine, so never mind.
I'm gonna go attend to him.
Okay.
I'm not very good at medicine either, but this is
Damn. It'd be great if, like, health potions existed in this setting, but... What'd you get?
11.
11?
I got an unnatural 20.
Unnatural?
Yes.
Okay. What do you want?
Well, since the head got exploded, can I go for, like, a heart? I don't know if this has a heart.
It's nothing internal would be salvageable. It would have to be something external that you would take.
Oh.
Because she's kind of like a solid statue of this webbing right now.
Give me her cool hand, then.
Okay.
The one that is like...
The size of her, you would only be able to take a finger.
Okay, that's fine.
So you cut one of her fingers off, kind of tie that to your belt.
Yeah.
Sarah, what'd you say you got for your medicine?
11.
11? Yeah, I'm going to say, Giro, you feel more comfortable. You don't get any more health. Giro, is there anything specific you're doing right now? Real quick, medicine is more for like stabilizing and comfort, whereas like magic is for gaining health points. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I was just about to say like, yeah. I can use my heroism, but now we're out of combat, a minute isn't too long.
Giro, what are you doing?
Can I try to wrap my own self up?
You're as good as medicine checks are gonna get you.
Alright. So, what happened here?
Would it be safe to assume that the danger is past in this mine?
Assume is the key word there.
Since all the stuff disappeared.
Like, assume is the key word there, but yes.
Would we be able to, you know, just kind of knock for like a couple hours?
If you want to, yeah, sure.
Yeah, that'd be nice, because that battle kind of got... Galen's been running on adrenaline this whole time, let's just say that.
No, I am 100% okay with you guys just staying here for a few hours. Is that what you're doing?
Sure.
I pass out.
Yeah, you pass out again.
I'll take first watch.
Okay. James is currently walking around the room trying to get a count for all the people.
I just want to put out there that Giro is reinforcing my idea of him being a zombie.
Okay. So...
Because he died again.
You guys are going to take a short rest in this pocket cavern. James is not real comfortable with just staying here all night. He has duties in town. But you guys can take a couple hours. So for hit point wise, what you guys need to do is roll your hit dice. And whatever comes up is how much you get. You don't really have to tell me. It's not going to matter on my side. So, after you guys take your nap, James decided not to. James spent the time while you were resting, writing down any names he knew of the corpses that he saw, and just tallying up the ones that he did not recognize. And now you guys are walking out of the mines, back through the caves. As you're walking through them, all of that webbing is gone. It is just puddles of blood now. Alongside puddles of what you could see were these things. Now they just look like gross skeletons of it, just covered in like this mucusy kind of blood. And then as you're about to walk out of the cave, everything goes black. Sarah and Giro, when you wake up, you are sitting at the mouth of that cave and it feels like someone hit you over the head with a bat. Galen, when you wake up, you are tied to a chair across a table from James, who is also tied to a chair in a dark cabin. Not James' cabin, a different, more like a shack. And you hear footsteps. The footsteps get closer, and you see the figure step into the light. And it is the man that was on the horse. He kneels down next to you, takes off his hat, puts it on the table, takes off his mask. And it is Daniel Bennett, the shopkeeper in Liberty. And that's where we're going to end this episode. I got you now, boy.
Damn. I can honestly say did not see that coming.
Thank you.
And that's it for this week's episode, folks. Don't forget to leave us a review, tell your friends about us, and follow us on social media at Dire Wild Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the episode, and tune in next time for Dire Wild.
You guys remember when I used to like DM our last campaign and just get like blackout drunk, like while DMing for you guys?
Yeah.
I miss that.
Then you just pass out in the middle.
Yeah, in the middle of the session, I would just pass out.
And then we just look at each other and be like, I guess we're done. And just leave you there at that table asleep.
It was my Saturday night, too. Start doing that again. Oh, the episode's over because Will passed out. All right.
Those were also different times. Yeah. As in, like, we were doing it till like 2 or 3 in the morning.
Yeah, that's back when we were doing, like, 6-hour sessions.
Yeah, like, well, the thing was is that you gave us the choice of, hey, do you want to stop here or do you want to continue? And there was, like, a couple days or a couple times where we were, like, continuing, like, 3 times.
Yeah. Yeah, there was one time where I only had, like, 2 sessions planned out, and we ended up playing, like, 4 or 5.
Yeah. Because you kept on giving us the choice, and of course we're going to be like, no, like, let's keep on going.
Yeah. Well, that was also when you guys were, like, first starting to learn D&D, so you're kind of like, oh!
Well, then, the campaign. Yeah. And then the campaign was really fun, too.
Oh, thank you. Pretty similar to this one with, like, religion involved. Yeah, because the first one was about the demon priests.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I see where,
Okay.
See, that would have been a good, like, talk show banter right there.
Yeah. I might leave it in.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's, well, Something in the Wild is what it's called.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what I plan on Something in the Wild being. Just like half an hour of us sitting and talking like this after each session.
Yeah.
Okay, back to it.